school-aged children in America today, 54 million. There's roughly 16 million students that walk our college campuses in America today. The great evangelist D.L. Moody, who people estimate probably saw maybe a million souls saved during his ministry as he preached and went overseas to England and preached, said if he could have it to do it all over again, he would spend all his time reaching school-aged children. That says a lot about a man. If you know anything about his testimony, he was reached as a young schoolboy by a Sunday school teacher that worked in a shoe shop. He went after him and just tried to share the Lord with him and tried to love him. And D.L. Moody accepted Christ and became a vessel that God could use, a great vessel that God used mightily. When I say 54 million students and 16 million college age, they're just mere numbers. It doesn't really sink in. But if you walk down on Appalachian State University, you begin to see who those numbers are. If you look around today in the pews, you'll see who these young school-aged children are. You see faces, you see families, you see souls, you see hearts. Ride down to Watauga High or a high school or a elementary school that's close to you, and you'll see these faces of these 54 million students. They're not just some numbers or not some statistic. They're real children. They're real souls. And they're the future of our church. They're the future of our country. They're the ones that are going to be the teachers, the doctors, the lawyers, the people who work in the fast food industry. They're going to be our next preachers, Sunday school teachers. And some of us younger ones, they're going to be the ones that will be teaching and guiding our children. They are the future of this world. And we cannot disregard them. We can't look at them as mere numbers. If you'll turn with me in the Bible to 1 Samuel chapter 17 this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And though I know it's Youth Day and this message is directed more towards our young people, I believe as we get into this that there'll be plenty of application to us and you that are of an older generation that are leaders and should be examples to our young people. But 1 Samuel chapter 17 is a familiar portion of Scripture. Many kids, many of you heard this story as you grow up, David and Goliath. But as an older person, maybe you've heard it, or maybe even as a young person sitting here today, you may think, or somebody may have said it to you, you're just too young to do that. You may think, I'm just too young for God to use me. I need to wait till I'm 18. I need to wait till I'm married. That's not what God says. God has no age limit. None. And that's the beautiful thing about God and His service. You don't have to meet certain credentials and be of a certain age. Look with me in 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 31. It says, and when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, speaking of Goliath. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Run down with me to verse number 40. It says, and he took his staff in his hand, and he chose him five smooth stones out of the brook, and put them in a shepherd's bag which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, he scorned him, he ridiculed him. Why? For he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. In this story of David and Goliath, we see this giant. And David says, why are you letting him ridicule you? Let's go fight him. Let's do something about it. We kind of estimate David is probably 15 years old. He's a young boy. And Saul says, you can't do this. You're too young. He's a mighty giant. He's a warrior, and he's been doing that since he was a youth. Young boy, just go back home. Go take care of the sheep. Do what you know how to do, what your dad's letting you do. David says, no. Look what I've done. I fought bears and lions. Saul says, go ahead. And even this giant begins to ridicule him because, says, he is a youth. He's young. He's of a lower age. And young people today, don't ever let anybody tell you, ever, that you can do nothing for God because you're young. God has no age limit. God can use a 5-year-old boy. God can use a 2-year-old boy to glorify His name, to bring people closer to Him. He can use a 15-year-old, a 17, a 21-year-old. God has no age limit. None. No age limit at all. If we see revivals in history, the Welsh Revival over in Wales of 1903 and 1904, if you read some of the history, it's been traced down that possibly it began with a 16-year-old girl standing up in service and giving her testimony. And the great Welsh Revival was sparked because of that. Because some young people got together in a prayer room, began to pour their hearts out, and began chasing after God. God used that to stir people, to stir the church, to stir the older generation. We see that over and over in history. We see the history of revivals on college campuses where God has sparked young people and they come together and they have such energy and desire to do something with their life and they pour it into God. And we've seen revivals during the Great Awakening. And if you'll study those histories, you'll see young people, 18, college age, even younger, have a lot to do with that, stirring up the older generation. If you'll turn over with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Please, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and this is where I want to take our main text for this morning and just share a few thoughts for you young people that I think will help you. And I think also the older generation can look at this and take something from it also. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and as we come to 1 Timothy, Paul is much older in age. He's been a missionary. God has used him. And Timothy is a much younger person, probably guesstimate in his 30s, but Paul is writing a letter to Timothy, to young Timothy. And 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul will write, and he really begins to try to bare his heart. But if you look with me in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning in verse 12, he's speaking directly to Timothy. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy. With the laying on the hands of the presbytery, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly, profiting may appear to all." He warns him, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." If you'll look with me in verse 12, he tells Timothy, as he's pouring out his heart to him, he says, "Young Timothy, though you're young and many other people in this world are older, let no man despise thy youth." Basically, don't let anyone tell you you can't do something because you're not old enough. Don't let them look down at you because you're a younger minister, because you're younger in the youth group, or whatever it may be. Let no man despise thy youth. And that's the title of the message today. Let no man think lightly of you, less of you because of your age. Don't let people push you aside because of your age. Though you should have respect, you shouldn't act cocky because he says, let no man despise your youth. You should walk, as he's going to show us, as an example. He's going to give us 6 things that a young person can do in order not to let the older generation despise your age. Look with me in verse 12. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth, your age, but," he says, "be thou an example of the believers." How are we going to do that? Young person, how are you going to do that? And he gives us 6 things: in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. He starts off, though, he says, "Let no man despise your age," right? Okay, we got it. "But be thou an example of the believers." He's saying, you be an example of that older generation. You've been example to them. You've been example of what you see in their lives, so they have no reason to despise you. You give them nothing that they can look at you and say, you can't do that because of your age. You can't do that because you're young. But be an example, be a mark, an imprint, an impression. Be a pattern. Make your life a pattern. You should lead by example, though you're young. You should prove your life by your actions. And you should prove your life by your behavior. I just want to go down with these six items in this list. Just briefly hit each one. And just think about them, young person. And think about it, older generation. These are the things that you should be an example of to the younger generation. I believe it's a twofold application. You should be an example to them with these six things in this list. So the first one in the list is in word. That's your daily conversation. It should be of such character and such consistency, meaning not just in the church house, but in the job, in the home. It should be very consistent. It should have such rich content that people would think of Jesus when they're seeing you, young person. Seeing you, the older generation. If you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 12 and hold your place in 2 Timothy. But Matthew chapter 12. In verse 34. Let me back up just to the bottom of verse 33. This is Christ speaking. It says, for the tree is known by his fruit. Verse 30. Vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Basically, what comes out of your mouth proves what kind of person you are, because out of the abundance of the heart, your mouth speaks. But you should be an example in word, your daily conversation. What does that mean for you, young person? It means you're not gossiping. It means you're not laughing and making fun of somebody else in class. It may not be as popular, may not have everything that you have. Someone you think, oh, this would be a good person to poke and make jokes of. Don't do that. You're not around when they're telling the dirty jokes. You walk away. Because in word, you want to be an example of believers in your daily conversation. And that goes twofold. When you're talking to your parents and people that are older than you, you have respect. You say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. No, ma'am. No, sir. That's an example of the believers. There's no talking back. You don't have to turn there, but I was reading this morning in Proverbs chapter 30, and as I was thinking about the message, just a couple verses. It says, there is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes and yet is not washed from their filthiness. There is a generation, oh, how lofty are their eyes, and their eyelids are lifted up. There is a generation whose teeth are as swords, and their jaw teeth as knives, to devour the poor from the earth, and the needy from among men. That's Proverbs chapter 30, verse 11 through 14. And people say, that's our young generation today. They have no respect, no honor. Well, you're summing up a great large crowd of young people and saying that's them. I see plenty of young people that respect their parents. They're trying to do right. They love the Lord. Trying to do their best in school. Trying to walk and trying to do the Lord's will. Trying to get a good job. Trying to get a good education. But I've heard people say, oh, they're a generation of vipers. They're gnashing with their teeth because they have no respect. Be thou an example, one, to the older generation, so these young ones have somebody to look up to. Be an example in word. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 4, the second item in the list is in conversation. Okay, word, conversation, that kind of sounds about the same, right? Well, this word conversation means it's your life, your reputation. It's not just mere the words as you're speaking in conversation, but it's the sum of your life, your who you are. You know, it's very easy to tear down your reputation. It's very hard to build it up. It takes one mistake and your reputation can be ruined, young person. One bad decision and you can carry it around the rest of your life. You can be an older person and say, I wish I'd have never done that. There's decisions I made as an 18-year-old boy, as a 16-year-old boy, that still to this very day affect me in a negative way. Our lives are made up by the decisions we make each and every day. It says in conversation, our behavior. Basically, young person, your life should line up with the Word of God. You don't have to turn there, but first, for Titus 1:16. It says they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. They profess that they know God, but their lives are not adding up to it. 2 Timothy 3:5, you can just make note of it, says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Having a form of godliness, bottom line, they're playing church. They're playing church because their parents are making them. Young person, you cannot live on your parents' faith. You cannot live on borrowed faith, because when you get 18, you step out of the house, you're going to become what researchers are trying to figure out, this lost generation. This 18 to 29, why 70% of them leave home, leave church, never return. We don't know what the reason is. You can think of 1,000 different things. But don't be one of those, young person. How? Get your own faith. You have to step up and get your own faith, your own depth, your own roots in the Bible, your own roots in God in prayer, and let Him answer prayer for you. You can't just watch mom and dad and come to church to make them happy, because when you get out, there's nothing to it. Whatever, I don't want to go back to church because it's not real. And parents, you can't come to church and not do it at home. Does that make sense? You can't do the church thing on Sunday and expect your kids, because you're falling back on a verse in Proverbs says, if you raise them up and do right, send them to church, they're going to come out right. It doesn't work that way. If they just see you going to church on Sunday morning, there's nothing real in the home, what do they want that for? That's being hypocritical, and that's the way they look at it. It's hypocritical, and they don't want that. I wouldn't want it. It has to be real in the home. And your life should be an advertisement for the gospel. And young person, choose the high life. And that's not choosing between the good and the bad. That's choosing between the good and the best. And choosing the best every time. There's a good, there's an easy way in life, that's good. There's always a better. And young person, aim for the high road. Aim high. Achieve the goals that God puts in your heart. You say, well, I'm not going to Bible college. God can't use me. I'm not called to be a missionary, a preacher. You know, our greatest untapped resource is lay people in the church. It's people that are going to work at a dentist office. People that are going to work at McDonald's. They're going to work at a gas station. It's people that are going to be lawyers. I'm excited when I see our kids going to Bible college. I'm excited to see our kids when they're going to Appalachian or NC State or wherever it is. I'm excited. I'm excited to see a bunch of our young people desiring to be teachers. I keep running into young people in the college that are desiring to be teachers in our schools. And what a ministry that is, ministering to our young people. Whatever God has placed in your heart, whether it be you be a preacher, whether it be you be a Sunday school teacher, whether you are going to go work as an architect, do it. Aim high. Go for your goals. Let nothing get in your way if it's the Lord's will. And do it for God's glory. And let Him get the glory. Look with me, third one in the list. It says, in charity. We understand charity means love. Matthew 5:44. You don't have to turn there. But Matthew 5:44 says, but I say unto you, Christ speaking, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. It's a lot easier verse to read than to live out. But young person, if you'll learn to love people regardless of what they do to you, be wise, watch, You know, don't let them pull you in a trap. But if you'll learn to love, you'll learn to forgive. It will help you to be an example of the believers. Love to all people, sinners, the poor, the despised in school, those ones that are made fun of. You know, be their friend. Encourage them. Handicapped. You know, my wife, I think she mentioned something one night in testimony time, but she was speaking with a lady in town, and she has I don't know if it's a brother or whatever the relationship as far as the family, but he has Down syndrome. He's 42 years old, handicapped, as you know, the world would classify it. But he says, I get to do this in church. I get to pass out candy to the kids. Handicap is not hindering him. He's still got a job. And he looks at it, which would bless my wife and my hearts, he gets to do. You know, he's getting to do the Lord's work. It's not us, oh, I've got to do. I'm doing this. I'm doing the Sunday school, the college ministry. No, I get to do God's work. I get to do what God has placed in my heart to do. So you should be an example of the believers in charity by your love to other people. And not only by your love to other people, but your love to Jesus Christ. Your love to this book. This is your GPS. All you young people know what a GPS is. Majority of you may have it on your phone. But this is your position for life. It tells you how to go. Tells you where not to go. Tells you how to marry. Tells you how you got here. Tells you everything you need to know in life is wrapped up. It's what some people would say, that old book, that old dusty thing. But if you'll get into it, young person, it'll help you. It'll guide your life. It'll tell you where you need to go. You need to have a love for Christ, for the Bible, for world evangelism. And you need to be full of compassion. Look with me down in the list on number 4. It says, look, be an example of the believers. You don't want no man to despise your youth. You don't want to hear, you're too young. Do it in word. By your words, in conversation, how you live your life, in charity. And he says, in spirit. You say, can a teen be really filled with the Holy Spirit? Don't you have to be like 30 or 50 or something like that before you can be filled with the Holy Spirit? Isn't that for them old folks? If you have Jesus Christ living in your heart, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And back up before we do all these, the most important decision, young person, that you need to make, or if you have made, it was the most important decision, is trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the most important decision anyone can make in life. Why? Because it deciphers where you will spend eternity. You either spend eternity in heaven if you've accepted Christ. If you don't, the Bible's very clear. You spend eternity in hell, a place of torment. Luke chapter 16 is very descriptive of that. So that's the most important decision you need to make. And as you make that decision, you have Christ living in you. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. And you as a young person can be used fully of God. If you'll let the Holy Spirit have control in your life, you'll give Him full control. And you seek Him for guidance in all your decisions and all the things that you do in life. You know, as you're deciding, and it's hard. I was coming out of high school. I didn't know what I wanted to do. You know, you start balancing things in the air. I didn't know the Lord at that time. But it's hard. And I'm sure it's hard as a Christian young person trying to decipher what God's will is, you know, what I like to do, and trying to put all that together. But if you'll depend on the Holy Spirit, He will guide you. He'll make God's will clear. God's will isn't something that He just flashes up in the sky, and if you don't get it, you miss it. God doesn't play games like that. And I began to think as I was growing as a Christian and trying to sort out His will that it was like that. If I miss that moment, I'll never know what God wants me to do. But it's not like that. God will continue guiding you, using people, using circumstances, and guiding you to His will. So be an example in spirit. Show people that you have the Holy Spirit living within you. And that will guide your mouth. It will guide your conversation. It will guide the love that Christ tells us we should have to this world. Number 5 says, in faith. Be an example. How? In faith. You believe God, you believe the Bible, and you live it. You trust God day by day. And I said earlier, you can't live on borrowed faith, young person. That is danger. It's danger for you to get out, have no faith, no roots, no ground, and you're going to fall by the wayside. You're lunch for Satan. You have to get your own faith. And that's how you're going to be an example. How do you get faith? You say, where do I get faith? Something I buy at the store, or something I go sit down in a pew and I'm going to get? The Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want faith, young person? If you ignore and neglect this book, you'll have minimal faith. So then faith cometh by hearing. What am I going to hear? Hearing by the Word of God. What's in here? That's how we get faith. That's how we know about Christ. And that's how we grow in our faith. And you may say, the Bible is boring. I can't read it. It's too many pages. I mean, look at all these pages. I mean, don't you have like a condensed version? You know, like the Cliff Notes, something a little bit shorter. Every book in this Bible, God has a message for you. We're studying in the college ministry out of the book of Hosea. A book that, you know, I've not really done a lot of time in. It's one, you know, you go to Matthew, you go to Timothy, you go to Genesis. There's books you spend a lot of time in. But every book in the Bible is important for your life. And there's a message in every book, in every chapter, near about in every verse for your life, for today's world. I can't stress enough to young people as I've worked with them, read your Bible. Reading the Bible is absolutely essential to your Christian life. Everything else, you say, I want to pray more. I want to be a better soul winner. I want to do better at the job. It all comes from right here. And I can testify that. I didn't know anything about this book. I picked up this book about a year and a half after I got saved, after I trusted Christ. And I've never put it down. It gives me guidance, gives me encouragement, shows me how to live my life. Young person, get into the Bible. Get into prayer. Get into worship. And that'll get you into outreach and what God's heart is missions. This church is very mission-minded. It's a blessing. But that comes from God's heart, knowing His heart. And you get it from the Bible. Again, you say, the Bible is boring. I don't like it. Where else can you read about a man being swallowed up in a great fish and being spit back out? Where else do you hear about a talking donkey? Where else do you hear about a young boy with his five little loaves of bread and two little fishes feeding 5,000 people? If a fish swallowed a man and spit him back up, you best believe that would be breaking news on CNN. It's right here. It's breaking news in your Bible. Read about it. And don't read about it, oh, that's some story. It's real. God put it there. God used Jonah to produce the greatest revival probably in history, a whole nation up to the king coming back to him. How about fire falling and burning wet wood? How about the Sunday school lesson Brother Terry was teaching this morning? And seeing great hailstones falling from the sky and smashing people. Talking about a movie. I mean, you go to the movies and want to see this kind of stuff, read your Bible. It's right there. Firestones falling from heaven. And I think they prayed and the sun stood still. Can you imagine if the sun stood still for 21 hours? People would freak out. It would be news. It would be important. It would be very interesting. The moon and the sun stood still. Young person, get in your Bible. It's not boring. You can't use that as an excuse, and I can't use it as an excuse. Because it's God's Word. It's alive. It's a book of life. Lastly, in the list, He's gone down. He's told us, look, don't let no man despise your youth. I want you to be an example of the believers. You do it in word, in conversation. You do it in love, charity. Show them you have the Holy Spirit. Have your own faith rooted, grounded in God's Word. And lastly, He says, in purity. That just means clean from the pollutions of this world. It means you're keeping yourself pure, young person, for your husband or for your wife. It means you're keeping yourself pure from drugs, from alcohol, things that the Bible speaks against. It means you're keeping yourself pure from the things you're watching and things you're hearing. Young person, your eye gate, your eyeballs, and your ears. Satan uses those. If you think I can, he even will use the smell. I can smell something and it instantly takes me back 10 years ago to a certain place, certain time, something I was doing. God on TV, internet, You see certain things you don't need to see, stamped. And you can't get rid of it. It's not like you can take white out and white over it. It's there. It's permanent. It will always be there. You say, oh, it'll be okay. I see certain things. It'll go away. You'll be sitting there as a 30-year-old man and go, where did that thought come from? Where did that picture come from? Oh, well, duh, I was looking at stuff when I was 18, when I was 16. Should have been watching that movie. Mom and Dad said I probably shouldn't. Mom and Dad, maybe you should watch what your children are watching. Because their eyes, and you and our eyes, we know this, and our ear gates, is what Satan uses. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Why are so many young people having premarital sex and engaging in this kind of behavior? What's all over TV? What's all over internet? When you walk through the mall, and I'm not against these places and against TV and stuff, but when you see it and you walk, they're bombarded with these images. Every store in the mall has models and has stuff displayed. And when you see these images, and when you hear these things, you say, I can block it out. It begins to work in your heart. It begins to work in your mind. And will tear down your barrier to be pure. So guard your eyes and guard your ears, young people. And parents, help them. Young people, if you don't want people to despise your age, bottom line, don't give them a reason to. You've been an example to the believers. You as a young person can build up, can encourage, can help an older person. You have respect, you honor our elder generation. But you can build them up. How? In word, the words you're saying, in the way you live your life, in the love, in your faith. You can have the Holy Spirit living within you. And you can do it by living a pure life. We need some teenagers and young people who will stand up, stand strong, and march forward for Jesus Christ. We need some teenagers and young people who will get their own faith and not live these hypocritical lives, play in church, but are grounded in God's Word. We need some teenagers who will love Christ without any shame and without any love to the world. We need some young people that will just say, God, I'm yours. I know this is your word that you've given to me. I'm going to read it and study it as best I can. I'm going to be consistent, which is a huge part. And I just give myself to you. No matter if you want me to be a preacher, a missionary, no matter if you want me to work, being a tow man, whatever it is, whether you want me to stand at the door and greet, whether whatever you want me to do, God, I give myself to you. Fully, holy, and you do with me as you please. And let God lead your life. Let God use you in whatever avenue He can. Let no man despise thy youth. That was Paul, the older man, speaking to young Timothy. He says, don't give them any reason, none at all, for them to despise you, for them to say you're too young. And Timothy, here's how you do it. And he gave him those six things. And young person, if you will live those six things out as best as possible, if you'll think about them, if you'll meditate on them, and you just try to live your life for the Lord the best you can, God can and will use you. And we need you. We need a younger generation. If you look around in the churches, you see many more older people. And that's great. That's a blessing. But where are young people? You know, working with the college age, where are those 70%? I know it's statistics, but there's still some truth in it. Where are they at? Where are they going? How do we get them back? But first of all, why did they leave? What was missing? What was missing in their life that caused them to falter, to cause them to fall away? And we understand we can put our children in church. I can raise my little boy and we can have devotions. I can read in the Bible. But he has soul liberty. He has the decision to choose whether he wants to follow the Lord or not. So it's not guaranteed for me to bring him in here Sunday morning and Sunday night and to read the Bible to him. I'm still not guaranteed. But I can do my best. And you as parents can do your best. We all falter. You guys, many of you know a lot more about parenting than I do in the 5 years that we've had. It's hard. It's very hard. But we can do our best. Keep God at the center of our home, and will stand and live by this book. And God will do His will and perform all things. If you'll just bow your heads with me just for a moment. I just want to ask a couple questions, and I'm going to let the pastor come and close the service as he sees fit.